We are celebrating today the wrapping up of the feast of God called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. It is the holiest day of God. It is the day, as we talked about yesterday, a day that we experience the forgiveness of God, a day of judgment, a day that God determines what the rest of the year and the rest of our lives look like. Now, that word Yom Kippur means atonement, the day of atonement. It's not a day that you just come into. It's a day that you walk into. In other words, when God started his new year, which we call Rosh Hashanah, we stepped into a day that started out with trumpets, or a day called the Feast of Trumpets. It has that connotation. It's a new day, it's a new year, but it's also the Feast of Trumpets. And as I was saying yesterday, I have a sneaky suspicion that if God keeps to patterns, as he has throughout scriptures, that the time of the return of the Lord will be about this time. When he comes again for his church, it's going to be at this time. Now, he doesn't pin it because the parable tells us that he came late after midnight. And so it may not be exactly on Rosh Hashanah when the new year starts, but it could be somewhere between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. But today I want to remind us of the other meaning of that word, because the meaning of atonement changes when it comes to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was about covering, the hiding away of our sin until another day of atonement or purification, and so on and so forth. And during that time, God covered the sin of the people. But in the New Testament, the word that is used is the word katalage. And katalage is different from kafar, which is the Hebrew word. But this time, the meaning of the word is more than what the Old Testament kafar or atonement stood for. Here, it stood for bringing to an equivalent value. Hallelujah. Bringing to an equivalent value. In other words, atonement was reconciliation, but reconciliation with an understanding that God was elevating us to a higher place of honor, bringing us up higher to a place where our godness is reestablished. Amen? Let us create man in our own image and likeness. That was the initial word. True? In our image and our likeness. What likeness? The likeness of God. And so, man was God in the world, and God delegated the authority to him to speak as God. And whatever man called the things God presented to him, God said, that's the name of it. I agree with you. Amen to that. Elephant, amen to that. Your name is elephant. Whatever he called it, that was the name of it. But man fell. We understand that. Man fell. Man fell and turned over the godship that he had over the earth, over to the devil. And from that point on, the devil became the god of this world. Are we okay so far? The devil then became the god of this world, and the devil began to reign and rule in the world. Then the Lord Jesus Christ came, and when Jesus Christ our Lord came, he seized the keys of death and the grave from the devil, overcame the devil, made a public show of him, and turns around and gives to the church the authority of being his representatives as God in the world. Amen? So he did not only forgive our sins with atonement, he empowered us by the atonement to now reign again. Praise the Lord. Now, unfortunately, as the church, we have not come to the recognition of our rights, what God has accomplished for us. And because we've not, the devil keeps on running around doing crazy things, accomplishing whatever he wants to accomplish at will. But God is raising up a people that will not allow that anymore. Amen? And we are that people. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are the church. And the church of Jesus Christ is not subservient to anything. It's not subject to the authorities of this world that pretend to play the role of God. By the atonement, as we see stated in Romans 5 and verse 11, for example, Romans 5 and verse 11, it says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We have now received what? The atonement. We have now received the katalage, the equality, the equivalence. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so today, I want you to be reminded of this, that in every area of your life, not only is your sin forgiven, God has empowered you to rule and reign in Christ. Amen? Those two things. In the Old Testament, their sins were covered. And God came into their midst by being in an ark. And there's a tabernacle that had the outer court. And then they had the holy place, soul, and then they had the Holy of Holies, Spirit. But now, that God that stayed out there has now come and made his abode in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. They used to carry the ark on their shoulders, but now we carry the government on our shoulders. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. They carried the ark on the shoulders. Wherever they went, the ark was carried on the shoulder. But now we, the body of Christ, carried the government of God on our shoulder, because he is on the inside of us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Somebody say, I have the authority in Christ Jesus to do God's will in the earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. As it is in heaven, so it is here. Praise the Lord. Pastor Sunday preached a powerful message last Sunday evening. As he is, so are we here right now in the earth. You must see yourself from that perspective. I am as he is. I have been authorized to function in the earth just like he is functioning in heaven right now. Doing the will of God here as it is in heaven. How do we get this accomplished? By coming into agreement with God by faith. I had an interesting situation recently. I had lent something to somebody, and they were to return it. But I felt led by the Spirit of God to say to the person, forget it. Don't return it. It's yours. So I called the person. I tried to connect with the person. Tried as many times. Tried. Finally, we connected. And I said to the person, remember that thing? Forget it. It's taken care of. He says, but, I said, it's yours. Oh, but, I said, are you going to be thankful and receive it, or are you going to complain? And he stopped for a while. I'm not going to complain. He wanted to go to the but part again, but he said, I receive it. You know, that's what the problem with many believers are. Why won't he receive it right away? Because he felt that his pride of wanting to be able to return it, that he cannot do it, and his pride was coming in the way. And that's what happens to us. Well, I know God has forgiven me, but there's no but. The reason you have the buts is because of your pride. I have to earn it. No, you cannot earn it. It's like me saying, I have to drive my car to the moon. No, my car cannot get to the moon. I cannot drive it to the moon. It is not possible. So something else has to take me from here to the moon. That makes sense? Okay. You cannot connect with the greatness of God with your natural mind, with your natural thinking, with your natural ability. So forget about what you know and what you think and just agree with God already. When God says you are holy, you say, yes, I am. Amen? I have endowed you with the grace of atonement. I have elevated you to an equivalent value. I give to you my worth. I give to you my value. Amen. Well, why should it be so difficult for us to grasp that? If the price that God paid for my salvation was the price of Jesus, and Jesus is God, then the value God placed on my life to buy me back, to redeem me, was the value of God himself. Yes. That makes sense? Yes. So why is it so difficult for us to understand that God has given us the equivalent value of God? Because that's what he did. And he didn't go buy us on sale price, discount. No, he paid full price. Full price. God didn't go and say, oh, well, I'll wait until they go on sale. Yeah, he's so messed up. No value here on sale. I'll buy it. No, he bought me full price at the price of God himself. Amen? That is what atonement is about. It's about separating me from everything that has to do with death. Because in God is life. Life ever lasting life. So when he purchased me, he gave to me everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God has always had a good intention concerning you and I, but beyond intention, it is a good will. You can intend something and not be able to will it into place. God didn't only just have an intention, he had a will, and he had a manifestation of that will. For whatever it is God wants, God gets. Amen? He chose to get me, and he came and got me. Now, understand the God that we're talking about. He's a God who made a promise to a man, a king called David. And he said to David, David, you're always going to have a son on the throne. Really? Yes. You're always going to have a son on the throne. He made that comment. Now, David's sons begin to fail. They lost track of their spiritual heritage. And so what did God do? A God who makes a promise and keeps his promise. He decides, you know what? If none of his boys are going to act right and stay as king, I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to make myself a son of David. So God made himself a son of David so that he can keep his own promise. Hallelujah. God made a promise to a man called Abraham and says, through you, the rest of the world will be blessed. He made that promise. Abraham, through you, everybody's going to be blessed. But he's a God who blesses everybody. And so what does he do? When it came to time for the blessing to come upon the Gentiles, God said, it is going to happen to you through Abraham. He never forgot his promise. He made a commitment and he stayed with it. Hallelujah. If God ever makes a statement and it was a mistake, he will make the mistake the truth. Oops, I made a mistake, but I said it. I have to keep my word. He holds his word above all of his names. Hallelujah. So if God ever said anything, be certain that he will keep to it. Praise the Lord. That's why I am so satisfied in my spirit today about what we're about to do in just a moment. I'm not going to keep you long. I do hope you all brought your bottle of water. Did you? Anybody didn't bring their bottle of water? Anybody? Okay, everybody. Anyone didn't bring a bottle of water? If you didn't bring a bottle of water, raise your hand. Okay, everybody's got a bottle of water. You didn't bring one. Okay, we'll make sure you get one then. Now, let me state very categorically that this water is just water. It is just what? Water. And the only reason I'm doing this tonight is because I heard in my spirit to do this. And in the natural, I can tell you this, it's the last thing I want to do. Because I don't like doing stuff like this. But if God gives an instruction, you just obey the instruction. You just obey it. You want us to bring water? Sure. What is this water about? He says, well, I'm going to use it as a point of contact to declare over your lives that this water is from the river of God. Amen. I said, the river of God. Huh. The river of God. This is the river that flows from the very throne of God. And interestingly enough, there is a river in the earth realm that nobody seems to know the source of, and the Jewish people call it that this river must come from the throne of God, because nobody knows where this particular river comes from. They've tried everything. They don't know where this particular river comes from. It's called the Gihon. This is the river where, when David was about to die and Absalom was about to seize the kingdom, he asked for his son Solomon to be taken to and to be crowned king there at the Gihon. This river is the one that flows, and I didn't know this until 10, 15 years ago, I guess it was. Mom and I were in Israel, and we were there with some of our spiritual daughters and some other folks. And we heard about this river that was flowing in this cave system. And so we went there. And the idea was to walk down this river or stream and to the end. So we got into this cave system, and when we got in there, it was so tight, nobody was willing to, you know, squeeze themselves through the dark, going, you know, to where we don't know. So we're there, and we're standing there, and the Lord says, tell Mama and his other daughters to take the water from this stream and wash your face. So I told them, I said, take the water and wash your face. So they took the water and everybody washed their face, and we got out. We got out, and here is this flyer. They'd given us a flyer or some kind of brochure. And so I started reading this brochure, and lo and behold, this river was the Gihon, and in the city of David, and it ends at a pool called Siloam, the pool of Siloam. That was the place where Jesus sent the blind man to go, with the guy with the mud in his face, to go wash his face. I say, look at this. We were clueless, but God knows exactly where we were. Amen. Just wash your face. Just wash your face. Wow. And I believe we came out seeing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I believe that God is going to make a point of contact with you and I today. In Psalm 46 and 6, we read, I think I got the wrong verse. Let me see. I think I got the wrong verse there. C65. Why did I write 46 there? Okay. 65, verse 9 through the end. He says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. Amen? God visits and God greatly enriches the earth from the water that is the river of God, which is full of water. Amen? Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. And then it says in 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. And the idea is this, that God waters the earth when he visits the earth. And today, as we meet here tonight, and those of you who, for whatever reason, are not able to make it here, not because you decide to sit home, but because you can't be here, God is going to visit you right where you are, as he's going to visit us right where we are. And you know the thing about this, we came and were made out of dirt, the earth. And God is going to visit, and more than visit, he's going to abide with us. Amen? Praise the Lord. He says, thou greatly enrichest it, the earth, with the river of God. The Lord spoke to me and said, when you come together, I want the saints to bring a bottle of water, and that is going to be a point of contact. And it's going to signify the unction and grace that is in that river of God that enriches. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, this is not the first time the Lord has touched water. Actually, one of the oldest things in the earth is water. Water covered the face of the earth. And when God created, he created everything out of water. Amen? If you need to listen to a message about that, listen to the message by Mama called Water of Waters. And you'll get that very message very clear in your spirit. Because one of the key things that we need to have is understanding. When you have understanding, it is locked in. The information is locked in, and the devil cannot have his way in your life at any time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in Revelation chapter 22, the book of Revelation 22, I'm going to read from about verse 1 through 5. It talks about this river of God. He says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is in the heavens. Now, let thy kingdom come, let thy what will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Yeah? Okay. So whatever it is that is happening in heaven, he says the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the what? Of the nations. Well, are we going to have nations in heaven? No. Yes, there are tribes and nations and people from different multicultural groups all in heaven. We know that. But are we going to have Canada in heaven? No. So if if the leaves from that tree are for the healing of the nations, then it must be the leaves of that tree are for the healings of the nations now. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Okay, so God is getting us to tap into what His will is already in heaven. And He's going to use the water that we bring to Him today as a point of contact to remind us that there's healing waters that are flowing towards us, that there are trees on both sides of the street. Praise the Lord. On both sides of the street. Wait a minute. Is it possible there's only one street in heaven or in the New Jerusalem? No. So what street is He talking about? He's talking about that narrow pathway where the righteous walk in. And He's saying there are trees planted there and they will produce fruit every month for you. In other words, every month expect something new. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Is somebody listening? Praise the Lord. It says here, verse 2 again, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. There was the tree of life which bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more what? Curse. There shall be no more what? Curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. His servants shall do what? Serve Him. And they shall see His face. And His name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, wait a minute. You've got to have this name of the Lord on your forehead, or else, guess what? You're going to have another name on your forehead, another mark. If we are going to escape the wickedness of the world, we've got to tap ourselves into God's new Goshen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, and there shall be no night there. What did the Lord say to us the other day? He said to us that He's bringing us to the city where night ceases to be. The house of the sun. Remember that? Well, He's talking to us about the same thing. He's saying, I want to bring you to a place where night is no longer relevant in your life, because you will be in the day. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. But when do we start reigning? It is not in the future, it is now. And I believe God is bringing us to a place of an awareness where we become aware of the fact, you know what? I'm in the midst of the river of God. I have no lack. And I'm not walking in darkness, I'm walking in the light. Surely God's goodness and God's mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there night in heaven? Okay, God does not want us walking in the night. He says, when it is night, the evil one gets to operate. That means the curse continues. But we are not under the curse. We are under the blessing of the living God. Amen? I am what? Blessed and what? Highly favored. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Do you receive that? Do you receive it? Do you receive it? Then shout a big hallelujah unto the Lord. Now, I want to go back to that Psalm 46 and verse 6. There's a reason God got me to write that verse down. Okay. I hear you. It says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. But God utters his voice, and the earth melted. In Psalm 2, hold on to that verse, and I'll be done in a moment. In Psalm chapter 2, the word of God starts out this is, it says, why do the heathen rage? The heathen raged, it says in Psalm 46. It says, why do they rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision or in confusion. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And the Lord says in verse 7, I will declare the decree. In other words, I will say what God has said. And what does he say? Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And then he says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Praise the Lord. And the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But wait. Go back to this statement. Verse 3. The kings of the earth, the rulers, took counsel against the anointed of God and said, let us break their bands asunder. What? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. If they're saying, let us break their bands asunder, they must be bound. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. They must already be bound. I said, they must already be bound. That's why they're saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. As we take of this water today, we are declaring, just like the Lord declared, no way, Jose, you're not going to go free. You are bound. Amen? I think we are binding things that God has already bound. Yeah? Is that what he said for us to do? Whatever you bind here on earth is bound in heaven. Yes? Or better transition, whatever you bind, having been bound in heaven, is bound in the earth. Now, let us break their bands asunder. We are saying, no, you're already bound in heaven. Therefore, you're not going to run free here in the earth. We are taking control now. Amen. Amen? We are in charge. We really need to take responsibility for what is happening in our world, really. And we need to enforce the will of God here in the earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Take me back to verse 6, and as we wrap up, and then we'll pray. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I've done that. I will declare the decree of the Lord. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Are you sons of God? As many as are led by the what? Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. And what we're doing today is just following the leading of the Spirit. It says, bring me water. I want that to be a point of contact for something. Now, this means something very important to every one of us. This water is water that God is going to instruct you to use in very specific ways. I don't know how God is going to instruct you to use it, but as he directs you, use it. Use it sparingly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, ask of me. When you know that you're a son, he says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's wealth possession. That's soul possession. Sin souls come to God. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Oh my. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Just, I'm upset with you. You're destroyed. This is just a little. Can you imagine if he's upset real big? Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Is that you? I said, is that you?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, those of you who are listening online, I'm going to take one bottle because I'm going to break away from you in a moment while we continue with the saints here. I'm going to take a bottle. I want you to grab your bottle where you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to instruct you that are here to bring your bottles and form a line, and Mama and I are going to stand in agreement with you, praying for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this is just plain ordinary water. I don't care whether you get tap water, whatever kind of water you want. We're just going to agree that this point of contact is like declaring that the river of God that flows from the very throne of God is impacting your life, and that the wilderness in your life ceases to exist, because God is going to enrich your land, and he's going to cause your seed to increase when you've prepared it. When you get your seed ready and you present it to the Lord, God is going to give to you seed, his incorruptible seed. I am believing God for seed transfer today. As we bring our offerings before the Lord today, and we honor God with our giving on this day of atonement, this day of equivalence, I'm believing God to do something extraordinary for you, for me, for us. I'm believing God to give us the hidden for our inheritance. I'm believing God to heal bodies today. I'm believing God to release scholarships to people. I'm believing God to cause marriages to be healed and restoration. Wherever it is that you need God, I'm believing God for a miracle for you and your household. I'm believing God for miracles in this family. So I want you to take that bottle. Just hold on to it right where you are. I'm going to call Mama to come and stand with me. We're going to speak the blessing of God over you. And then, yes. And then after we bless you, we are going to cut off from you, and then we're going to spend time with those who are here in the house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Mama, come. Engage your faith right now. Be engaged with your faith. Lord, we're coming in obedience. You're the God who touched, spoke, declared over water. And the properties of that water were immediately changed. It became wine. By that declaration, you destroyed the power of lack. You turned a bad situation to a happy situation. You are God. You're the God who causes water to come out of the rock so that your people are not overwhelmed with the lack of water. We come in obedience. We do what to us in our natural mind makes no sense. But to you it makes absolute sense. Because what you declare, you do. So we say, Father, that this water that we're holding in our hands, the water that your children are holding in their hands, that this water is water from the river of God, where the tree of life is, where fruitfulness is established every month, fruit of various different kinds. Lord, let it be unto us, according to your word, that from this place there will be healings to the nations. For we take the leaves of this tree and we go into the nations, locally and globally. And Father, we know there's transformation taking place everywhere. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.